Don't take that first part of that last verse. I will both lay me down and sleep. Now, it's not sleeping time yet, so. But I like that. Man, that's good. The reading of the Word of God, and it's just a blessing. We're going to 1 Corinthians this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I'll try to be precise and hit it, and I know we got to get up early and get rolling again in the morning. But praise God. Appreciate you, your prayers and for us as we go behind jail and prison bars. Remember them, Hebrews 13:3, remember them which are in bonds is bound with them. Them that suffer adversity is being yourself also in the body. And so I appreciate your prayers as in your prayer time for those behind jail and prison bars. I just saw something just a while ago on my phone about Haiti. Inmates in the prisons in Haiti. Haiti, just being in the country, is insanity right now. And could you think locked up in a jail, in there, no food and no water, and locked up and at the mercy of unmerciful people? Whoa! Man, better have some hope in Jesus. So pray. And a lot of prisons and jails is like that in many fashions around the world, but also here it's no cakewalk, and it locked up with insanity. Go in with a misdemeanor, come out with a death sentence. So do pray for those behind bars. And 1 Corinthians 15, I'm getting to preaching before I'm preaching. I'll get into it here. All right, I know you've read a portion of Scripture. I'm going to read. Let's stand and read together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58. Our key text is verse 58 tonight. We want to get more in context, and then we'll jump right into it. Appreciate you. The reverence for the Word of God, and Brother LaFanier has sure done a good job of teaching us respect for the Word of God. Appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our emphasis will be on verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want us all to read it together. I'm going to pause on each comma, and I want us to memorize this verse tonight. We work on it, memorizing this verse. It's very good verse, and I'll just read it, and you read after me. It's sort of like responsive reading. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. And Father, you would open our understanding. Resurrection, now what? Help us to see what you've got for us and the blessings you have. Lord, I pray you would bless each one as they walk with you and are used of you to show forth the glorious gospel in this community, our homes, our families. Help us be ready when you call us, Lord, and it's imminent. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in each life. To you be glory and praise, and change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't put a lot of stock in some people that gets dates, especially in people dates and times of the rapture, but it's always interesting when people do different research. I saw something this week about the eclipse that's coming up next week, and they were so saying that in 2017, 7 years ago, we had the eclipse. It was come from Oregon down to Florida, cutting across, and it had, that's been 7 years, And then in the line of the eclipse was seven cities, each named called Salem. Salem means peace. Seven cities, Salem. This one is coming across the other way and cutting through and intersecting. And in it has seven cities of Nineveh. Seven cities, Nineveh, 7 years between seven cities, Salem, seven cities, Nineveh. And in Nineveh, of course, you know Jonah, he said, 40 days and judgment comes, 40 days and repent. And so I'm not saying, I'm not calling dates or time, but it's interesting. We need to get stirred up what time it is. And in the middle of the city where it intersects, guess what the name of, now we have new research. I'm not banking on all this. Check it out. The city is called Rapture. It's just sort of fun to think about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if it was tonight, are you ready? And in 40 days, that's about May 18th or something like that. Are you ready? just stimulate our thought. I'm not putting dates and time. In God we trust. I want to be ready, whatever. But here, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm getting back to our text that the resurrection, we just went through resurrection weekend and worshiping our Lord, thinking about his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the blessed hope we have. And I think of verse 57, I thank God to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the victory. We have the resurrected power. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And now we have that blessed hope. And he's speaking to us here. It begins, I want to break down this verse 58. Verse 58, of course, it's got, and in memorizing, for many have never memorized, there's different ways to do it. You could read it, you know, read it, and that's gets it in your mind. But I personally like taking a file or something to just cut a groove in my mind. And I said, there, from comma to the comma, therefore, say it three times. And then, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain, etc. So in this, we're breaking it down tonight. Look at it. It says, therefore, whoa, in light of what's been 1 Corinthians 15, we need to check this out. What God is revealed things in the scriptures, and now he wants us to act upon this. Many times we do not act because we do not realize what we've got. If it's like the old lady, and she was about starving, and she had her son far away, and he would send her letters about every week, and she thought she couldn't read, and she saw, oh, it's so good, I get letters from my son. And she was in an old shack and the wind blowing through it, so she started putting them on the walls, and she is so hungry, and finally she just died. And didn't have enough money to eat good, and she died. And they come and check that shack out, and it was covered with money orders. And here she was starving to death and had all the money, but she didn't know what she had. Men, therefore, the resurrection power, guess what? You know, you've got a lot more in you than you think. If you have the power that raised up Jesus from the dead, business is going to pick up. You know, I'm going to chase a rabbit real quick. I got to keep preaching here, though. But, you know, I was coming down to East Ham back in 98. East Ham was the end of the line prison at that time. For the worst of the worst, they couldn't keep them straight. If they just wouldn't do right, there's no do right in them, they would send them to East Ham. They'd be locked down 23 hours a day and just get out. And they was in a single man cell and 1 hour to get showers or make a phone call if they had money on their books. And so the worst. And we was witnessing working down the road. And I came down that road and sharing the gospel. And one guy said, no. And I said, okay. I'll keep on rolling. They might throw feces on me or something. I'm going to keep rolling. And a witness to the guy right next door. And then that guy said, hey, come here. The one that said no. I said, okay. Yes, sir. He said, we saw you a while ago coming down the road. So what? But we were afraid. That's why we didn't want to talk to you. There's only one man in the cell. He said it was like a great light coming down the road. And we was afraid. I said, glory. I just started working. I thought, whoa, boy, it started down about my feet and working my way up. I said, whoa, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Whoa, you never know. And it just gives you a reality. Ladies, don't be afraid. Children, don't be afraid. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and safe. Angels are pretty big. They took out 100,000 in one night. Well, anyway, I'm chasing that rabbit. Let's get back. Therefore, I don't know how I got on that one. Oh, therefore, we got to realize what we've got. We look at the context. And so in the context, he's hitting a lot of things. He's hitting the gospel that we have, the blessed gospel. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking in 1 Corinthians 58. He's talking to the believers, those have believed the gospel. To be a brother or sister, we've got to believe in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. Declare unto you the gospel. Realize that, as you know, in this church, the gospel is just not the general word of God. It's the specific. It's declared here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Here's the gospel. I delivered to you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Number one, according to the scriptures, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, death, burial, and resurrection. And we have witnesses. Well, what, you know, how do you know? And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day, and some are fallen asleep. And here we seeing the gospel. We have the foundation. We have the finished work of Christ. And we don't have our bootstraps. We just, our good works, our denomination, we have the gospel. And here, so as a result, looking around and then speaking of in relation to the things, and I'm trying to skim through this fast, it's talking about we're going to get a new body. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and that corruption, that which decays or diminishes, and this corruptible must put off this, and then we're going to put it on incorruption, that which does not decay. We're going to have a new body, and the blessed hope that we have, then the hope of the resurrection as Christ is raised. But then we've got also, picking up in verse 51, that blessed hope there, that we're not all going to have to die. And I personally talk to the Lord about it, and I just not have peace. I don't think I'm going to need a funeral plot. I don't have peace about buying one. I don't have peace. I know I've got one in Kentucky if I need it, but I'm not going to put money on that. I feel like the Lord is just saying that it's in my lifetime it's going to happen. Now, yeah, I may get killed tomorrow. Well, y'all bury me somewhere up there. Take me to Kentucky. That's all right. But I feel like in this lifetime, and I'm 70 years old, so you mark your calendar. We got time. It's coming. It's coming soon because I'm not going to live forever. And so, but I just feel like as I walk with the Lord and seeking him, that it's imminent. Behold, we showed you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, the Bible speaks of mysteries, the things that have been hidden that's now being revealed. And it's speaking about the change and the preaching of the rapture. It's the catching away of the believers there. And the last trump, the trump shall sound. And then we see the victory over death. Verse 55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's the victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. And indeed, if we are under sin, we are held. Death has its grip on us. I was speaking with a man today that got saved in prison, and he was gone through a lot, and he was very angry and bitterness. He was trying to read his Bible. He was not saved, trying to read his Bible in prison in a lockdown situation. He started in the Psalms trying to get some peace, trying to get a word of encouragement. He didn't get any in Psalms. He went to Proverbs. He started reading Proverbs. He still didn't get any. He got mad, and he just slapped that Bible up against the wall. God, I didn't get nothing out of this. Why are you? He said, because you're not doing what it said. You got sin. You got to deal with your sin. It's just like God got on his shoulder and started preaching to him. You know, if a man is seeking God, God can begin to speak to you. He can begin to convict you in your spirit and show you what's wrong. The sin, that's why we don't have victory if we got sin in our life. If we haven't come to repentance, he was rebellious against God, anger, bitterness. You can't get saved if you're holding that junk. You've got to give it to God. As he did, he got saved. Now, God's working on him, and I've got to work on him. God's doing a work there. But here, but thanks be to God that give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he, notice it, which giveth us the victory. We have the victory. We need to step into it. Step into it. Now I'm not... This positive visual stuff, be careful. You can get into witchcraft in the church. Visualizing and what the mind can conceive, you can achieve. Be careful. That's visualizing, that's new age, and you can get into things. But you believe the word of God. Now, that's a different thing. You're just by faith. And that's why you memorize scripture, think on scripture, that he gives us the victory. Many people, as I was, grew up in situations where you were not positively affirmed in your activities, meaning you're no count. You can't do anything right. You know, and for long, that gets in your head. And it gets in your heart. And ladies, you think, I can't even boil water without, I can't. And you start affirming that. I can't do anything right. I'll never have any money. Wait a minute. We need such were some of us, but we're washed. We got to get. I'm an alcoholic. I'm always be an alcoholic. I'm just a drug addict. Wait a minute. Let's go back. It's good to humble yourself, but not beat yourself. The devil is the accuser of breath. We need to come back and see, indeed, Christ, the finished work of Christ, cleanses us, it accomplishes that work for us. That gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. Step into that. Affirm that in your mind. Stop that stinking thinking and negative speaking. Don't speak it to your husband. Don't speak it to your wife. Don't speak it to your children. Don't speak it to yourself. Don't talk that trash. That's feeding the powers of darkness. Affirming that he is the accuser of the brethren, stop that. Affirming truth, the word of God, and the blood of Jesus. It cleanses our conscience. But therefore, so in light of all that, my beloved brethren, you're dear to God. These Corinthian churches dear to their pastor. You may not have family that cares, but you have a pastor that cares. You have church members that care, my beloved brethren. So as a result, we want to get to number one, the resurrection. Now what? Number one, be faithful. Be faithful. Where's that word? We're getting that from 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, steadfast, steady as she goes. Looking there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to your left. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I like, I'm trying to go where we can look at it. I'm not real fast in my finding things, and I like preaching where you can see it as well as hear it. So I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles to that, because I'm saying one thing, the Holy Spirit may be saying something else. As your eyes is looking at that scripture, he may be preaching to you something from that I didn't say, or the pastor didn't say. But and then you can mark it, because if you're like me, I can't remember. And that's why a short pencil is better than is better than most of my memory. All right, so here we see 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5, and we're thinking of steadfast, faithful. Let a man so account of us as one of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me it is very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself yet, as am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Look at the context of faithfulness here. Faithfulness as ministers, at those that are serving Christ. It's not, when they say ministers, it's not just preaching, singing, that in a public fashion, or missionaries. It's those who are serving the Lord. Your life is a service to the Lord. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. We need to be faithful. It's a mystery, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery. And I think of that song, He Lives, He Lives. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. You are a steward of that. Look in Colossians. Hold your place there. I'm coming back. But 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Philippians, Colossians chapter. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 4. I want to hit that another lick. But Colossians chapter 1. And it's talking about the mystery. You've got something that you need to hold, be faithful with, steadfast in. We've got something that is a mystery that is now being revealed. Verse 26, 25, for Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mysteries which hath been hid from the ages and from the generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I am a laborer, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. We've got something that we need to be steadfast in. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be steadfast. We think back in 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, it's required in a steward to be found faithful. We're faithful to what? To the mysteries. To the mysteries that's been revealed, that you have the power of God in you. And that He, the Holy Spirit, indwells the believers. It's not in just stained glass windows and cathedrals, but it's Christ in you. And we have the power, and it's in you, and we are to be stewards of that. And steward, a steward is one that manages the other person's affairs. We're to be, it's required in a steward to be found faithful. You can't be Brother Larry. You can't be Brother Lafreniere. You've got to be you. And you have your sphere of ministry. And you only have so much life, and I only have so much life, and we only have much time. We've got to be stewards of what we have for the glory of God. God did not make a mistake in making you. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. It's not how much or, you know, how showy or what man say, well, that man, he's not much of a preacher. Oh, that woman, she's not much of this or that. Wait a minute. Don't, in the context here in 1 Corinthians 4, hey, don't be judging ahead of time. I've seen some pretty hot shots in the pulpits, and they burn out. And half of them aren't preaching today. And their marriages are a mess, and the churches are split up. Come on now. Don't judge ahead of time. We need to be faithful. Faithful. It's a required of a steward to be faithful. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Holding steady. Faithful stewards. Moreover, it's a required of a steward to be found faithful to the word of God. So steadfast, that's the word in our context, what we're looking, steadfast. I couldn't read when I graduated from high school. I will say, how'd you graduate? That's a good question too. Kentucky, they just kept moving you, I guess. And I respect, like Brother George is teaching school in English. Oh, only place I can work is a jailhouse. They don't know how ignorant I am. I take notes and quickly work with me. And if anybody tried to read my notes, they can. It's like hieroglyphics. They couldn't figure it out because I misspelled so many words. But praise God. Hey, I'm accountable to God. And I can't say, well, I can't read. I can't spell. I can't cook. Wait a minute. What God gives you, do it. Use it. Be faithful, steadfast. Moreover, it's required a steward to be found faithful. Just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Be faithful for what God gives you. And God's going to judge this thing. He's going to shake it out. And a lot of the big shots are going to be little shots in God's house when he come into the judgment for God. So don't be weary in well-doing. Just hold steady. And you've got the mystery, as much mystery of Christ in you as anyone else. What you doing with it? Are you letting it loose? Are you experiencing the victory? If not, why not? What is hindering us? We need to ask God. If you got a short, ask God to where's it shorten out. Daughter Beth, they're working on her house, and they're putting siding, and they put a nail in and hit a wire, and it shorted out and it killed the breaker. And the breaker wouldn't go. Well, something's shortening it out. If we're not getting the fire, something's wrong. We need to figure it out. So just be faithful. And how do you, if you're faithful to God's word, if you're faithful in prayer, your faith, God is going to show you where the short is. That's why it's a blessing. You know, you pray, your prayer times, even Sunday nights and other times you're praying, even here, because it gives you time before God for him to speak to us. And that helps show us where the shorts are, that we can receive more power from the Lord and more energy of, because he raised from the dead. Surely we should be doing better than this spit and sputter. And maybe we got some replace the spark plug wires or something here. All right. We got to keep going. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. Be steadfast. God's going to be judging, and God is committed. And I'm just going to mention this. Hold your place. 1 Corinthians 15, John 5:22. But hath committed all judgment unto the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of God, because Jesus bore your pain. He carried your sorrow, he is a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He understands, and he suffered in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So if you'll take it to Jesus, he can cleanse us and he can forgive us, and that we just need to be steadfast. Take up your cross and follow him. But what else? We notice the next word, unmovable, unmovable, unmovable. The word I'm using here in this outline, be fixed, be faithful, but be fixed, planted, be established. Oh, look at Psalm 1. And that's, appreciate your reading in the Psalms tonight. Psalm 1 is so applicable to that, just being fixed, steadfast. It speaks of the man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, verse 3, planted. Be planted in the things of God. Be fixed. In context here, what are they fixed in? They're fixed in staying away from the negative of the sins of this world. Counsel of ungodly, the way of sinners, scornful. Be fixed, staying away from all this negativity of sin, people, places, and things. But be established there, planted in the law of the Lord. Delight is in the law of the Lord. And day and night, that's fixed. Day and night. It's becoming such a strange thing these days for a family to meditate in what God's Word, to read God's Word, to have devotions, to go to church, and to hear, and for children to grow up. This is very unusual anymore. You just don't know the potential you have. And I thank you for teaching your children and working with them and your whole family in that respect. It's going to make a difference. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Be fixed. Sunday school. That's so important. And it's putting that groove in the mind. They're hearing the Word of God, and the Spirit of God's going to take it. That's how I got saved. The Sunday school teachers taught it. The preachers preaching it. And as God was dealing with me, and the enemy was saying, oh, the family make fun of you. Friends, you're going to have to preach all kinds of things. He knows something he don't know at all. But God whipped up a verse I memorized. The devil's a liar and a father of lies. I said, whoa. And then I took that word of God. I said, shut up. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to trust Jesus. Amen. And that word of God through my Sunday school teacher, Miss Burtis Lee, glory to God, she's a blessing. It took root. And as a result, that it brought forth fruit. But planted, just planted. Sometimes you get chicken, other times feathers. But you just stay in the hen house, keep working it. You got to get it. And so planted in the seed there, and it bringeth forth its fruit. You've got to, like our old neighbors back home in Kentucky, Mr. Griffin, he wasn't much of a farmer, I must say, but his wife did most of the work at public work, and I don't know how he even made it, but until he got Social Security. Anyway, he would plant his corn, and the next day or 2 days, he'd be out there digging it up and see if it's sprouting. He'd just be out there. He'd be worse than the birds out there digging and digging. You got to leave it in the ground if you're going to get a crop. Is it sprouting yet? Oh, no. Planted. Be established. Planted it there. Notice John 15, Gospel of John. John chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we see in context, I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. What's that? Fixed, planted, established. They're always abiding, always there, unmovable, always unmovable. Abiding in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Abiding, be steadfast. You've got to stick with it. I appreciate men and women that are faithful in their duties. Duties of their employment, duties of church, duties of the home. We must be planted, be fixed. You can't just blow up and blow out just because of this or that or this or that. No, greater is he's in us than he's in the world. In the world, we have tribulation, but we've overcome this. So we've got to be fixed, established. Now, it's not wrong to switch in different things if they continue treating you wrong and all, but you need to do the best you can where you are. And then if God leads you to another place of employment and situation, that's fine. But we need to be abiding. In the same way, we need to abide in Christ, because without him, we don't have anything. We need to be fixed, established. Here, so as we go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here's the third thing. Number one, steadfast. That's fixed. Number two, always be steadfast. That means be faithful, unmovable, be fixed, always abounding, be fruitful, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding. That we saw there in Psalm 1, verse 3, brings forth fruit in his season. Abounding in the work of the Lord. That speaks of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. I'm going to go back to John 15. I should have mentioned to stay there. I'm going back to John 15. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians. John 15 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you notice in verse 2, it says, beareth fruit. He purges it, may bring forth fruit. So verse 2, you see, it's a progressive thing. You see fruit in verse 2, the middle of it, beareth fruit. That's fruit. But then you see plural, more fruit. He's purging it. You go through the trials. You bring forth more fruit. Here you're being fixed. And now, but God wants you to be fruitful. You can be faithful. You be fixed. But now God wants you to be fruitful. You can bring forth more fruit. As you go through trials, endure trials, and faithful to the word, God's going to bring forth more fruit. And if you look in verse 5, at the last of it, it says, I and him and the same bringeth forth much fruit. So progression in that, as we can be fruitful, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Galatians, we also see chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 5. Now, fruit is a reproduction of the same kind. So a Christian should be reproducing other Christians, but also it's the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control there. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust. If verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Here we're seeing the fruits of the Spirit. And you say, well, I can't be out there on the front lines. How can I have fruit? That there's a lot of different ways to have fruit, and God is going to do the judging. So we're not just looking at what man esteems, we're looking at what God esteems. And as you are controlled by the Spirit of God, and you're letting the victory of God flow through you, you're going to experience God. Now, God is love. And if you are plugged into God, the love of God is going to start oozing out. It's sort of like the old-timers, they drinking their coffee out of the saucer. You know why? Because it's running over. And they sipping it out of the saucer. Now, that's the old time. We don't even have saucers most of the time. We got these mugs anymore if you're drinking tea or coffee or any of that. But now the love, it should be oozing out. It's going to overcome that all that garbage has been. Joy, peace, long-suffering. There's where you're steadfast. There's where that unmovable, because you've got that long-suffering. You can't. It's the grace of God working through you that's allowing this to be accomplished. And gentleness, goodness, and self-control. It's only by the Spirit of God that we get that. So this is fruit. And God wants us to bring forth fruit. But Matthew, we think of Matthew 28. And it's a clear thing in relation to the resurrection, now what? We need to be about bringing forth spiritual fruit of winning others and helping others come to relationship with God. Here we see Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye there. And there's their power again. We have the power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching, it doesn't mean you're maybe a public ministry. It may be one-on-one, speaking the Word of God. We are in a real dearth in our churches of discipleship. Many have not been taught, raised in the Word of God. We're to have preaching. We're to have Sunday school. But they need people to come alongside and help them understand. Their thinking is so far from what we know of the Bible, and you just, from what you've gleaned from your being exposed to, you can be a real help to somebody. As we're doing that, the making disciples of others and bringing them in and teaching them the Word of God and loving them enough to knock off the rough edges. Most people are not saved that are already sanctified. they you get saved, most people, and then they get sanctified. Now, some were raised, and they're good people, and they realize they're not saved, and they get saved, and that's wonderful. But most is carrying so much garbage anymore, so much filth and garbage, they need somebody to help pick the barnacles off of them. And wow, but they show up in church and they've been smoking. You know, oh, yeah, and they think, man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not high on drugs today. I'm not drunk, I haven't been going to the church down, you know, down the big church down here. They come at jail all the time. I see them. Yeah, I was at church the other day. You know, I was with Sweet Susie, and you know, I'm not married, and we're into all this stuff. And I was high on drugs, and I felt good down there. Oh no! Where's the preaching, Brother Larry? Where are you? Somebody tear hide. Oh, but when the people do get saved, they don't know. And they think they're doing good, and yet we put a wet damper on them because they're still some areas they don't know. And so we just let the Holy Spirit work with them and teach them, love them. Love, if you can, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And so if people know you love them, you can let her rip. And that's why you're still here with Brother Larry preaching. Because he loves you. And he loves us. And he loves the ministry. He loves the Word of God. He loves Jesus. And so in the same way as we do the same, indeed, we can share that gospel. But fruitful, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He wants to bring fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And in John 14, 21, 12, John 14, 12, I'm going to just refer to it, greater works. I better read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm heading back to Corinthians anyway. So John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Here we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how I don't understand all that, but I know one thing. There's more that we can do than we think we can. God wants to work through us in a greater measure than we think we can. We see a little. We see through a glass darkly, but he sees a big picture. If we will step in to what God has for us, if we will start believing God and pushing into it, who could tell what God might do in our lives to manifest and reveal himself? I was thinking of John 14. It's in the same chapter, verse 21. 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's a lot there. Have you ever had God start manifesting himself to you? I mean, were you picking up from the other side as you're reading your Bible, as you're praying, as you're ministering to you in your family, your home, you start saying, wow, there's something going on here and it's bigger than me. And you start experiencing God and he starts speaking to your heart and you start seeing God's hand. It gets exciting. And he, as he do that, you're going to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And the joy of the Lord, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, you're going to be, and it pushes you. It's like a generator. It gets you going, and it keeps you charged up. And that way you can be steadfast, faithful. You can be unmovable, be fixed. You can always abound, be fruitful. You may have a failure today, or you may have a victory today. It doesn't matter. Sun goes down, you lay down, get up, it's going to be a new day. It's not what you did yesterday. What are you going to do today? Or what you didn't do, the blood of Jesus, get on. But we can't just live on yesterday. We got a new day, a new opportunity. Hey, he's anew and fresh each morning. Great is his faithfulness. I pray that we can meet with God each day. That's why it's hard for me to believe I'm 70, because it seems like it's getting better all the time. And I'm getting higher all the time on Jesus. And so, I don't think I got time to get old. I'm just going to serve God and keep on rolling. And that's what amazed me with and I'm chasing a rabbit. I'll be right back. But my grandmother, she was old, but she loved God. She couldn't get around much, but as I would get there and we'd read the Bible and pray, she seemed so young. The spirit inside of her seemed so young and attractive, and she is old and sort of overweight and all, and her health wasn't that good. But man, her spirit inside was just, wow, she was on fire for God. Just, she was a mercy too, and she could put a loving on you. You just felt loved. If somebody cared about you. Who can tell? Man, that's what God wants us to get as we get always abounding. And as a result, be fulfilled. That gets us to the last. And for as we go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, our last point, steadfast, that's faithful, unmovable, be fixed, always abounding, be fruitful. And notice the last point, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain or empty in the Lord, be fulfilled. Be fulfilled. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You're going to experience God as you push into that. It's doing for the praise and glory of God, and God will begin to work in you. And you're going to receive a reward for what you do in your body. It's not in vain. And quickly, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, back up, verse 11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. That's the resurrection. That's Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what are we building here? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he abide which he hath built it thereon, he shall receive a reward. A reward. There's fulfillment. It's not going to be in vain. There's going to be a reward. But also, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. But I want you to think that indeed there's blessings for those as we follow God. And he has a reward for us. He wants to provide for us. There's crowns we can have, and the crowns of righteousness. And how much more that we can study. The pastor has preached on the crowns. But tonight I want to think about that steadfast, that's faithful, being unmovable, being fixed, always abounding, be fruitful, not in vain, be fulfilled. It's not about the money. It's not about the priest. God wants you to be fulfilled in your life. What does it profit? You gain the whole world and lose your own soul. We need to be about what God has for us. And therefore, as you're about God's work, you can find a fulfillment. You find out what your spiritual gift is. Ask God to show you. And I know in Romans 12, it talks about seven spiritual gifts. In that, as you find out your spiritual gift and you get plugged into it, it's just like you become an ever-ready bunny, just wants to keep on rolling. Because as you generate obedience, God generates spiritual adrenaline, and you want to hit it again, hit it again. You become addicted to the ministry of the gospel. Hit it again, hit it again, hit it again. And that's what God wants us to have. So that steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, it's not in vain. And we're laying up it, but it's not even temporal. It's eternal. Laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. And it's all in light of just in a moment, twinkly eye, we're going to be on the other side. What are we doing on earth for heaven's sake? We need to be faithful. How do we know he lives? He lives within my heart. That's how we know. But have you come to that assurance? Have you come to that peace? I may be listening on the YouTube or something. I don't know if way to have it on. But we need to examine ourselves. Do I have the Spirit of God? If any man have not the Spirit of God, it's Christ in us. He's the hope of glory. It's a mystery. And if we are saved, we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your work is not, labor is not in vain in the Lord. Even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, receive a prophet's reward there. Let's see what we can do this week for the Lord, see what God does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're God and that you're in control. of each life. I pray, Lord, that you're working. I pray we submit to your righteousness. And if there's one without Christ, they'd cry out in repentance and faith, looking to Jesus, and let somebody know and get involved in church. And these here, Lord, I pray that for each life, that we might find our plan and the purpose you have for our life, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not going to be in vain. And Lord, you make the final decisions and bear the burdens of each one that's here tonight. You know what's on our hearts, and bless in this prayer time now. Thank you for the people's patience. Bless and reward them for seeking you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother George, come. Thank you for allowing me here.
All right.
Can it be?